Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? Emperor Haile Selassie I, bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call.
We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all
all about right.
Don't shine the star. You know who you are.
There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama, in Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, we'll sing something else. We want all. Is telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
We you're listening to the Ethiopian Rock Federation Incorporated local number 36 with your host, wonderful Mercedes Gomez. Put your hands together as she comes to the mic at this time.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Winborn, for your warm and kind welcome. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, coming to you live and alive on a wonderful Sunday evening. At this time, we are so happy for our Sunday evening of chat where we families come together and we have our conversation, often very, very much enlightening. Tonight, however, I want to, before I address the subject and have a conversation tonight, where we are talking about 14,000 people under the bridge in Texas. This is the border where people are trying to gain entry into the United States, but all in a wrong fashion. However, we see a desperate set of people, mainly we see Haitians now trying to get in, and they're having a crisis in their country. They just had a volcano, and here they are trying to get in. Our other topic of conversation, we are examining in our current affairs a case of a beautiful young lady named Gabby Petito. She left. She went to have vacation with her boyfriend, and they were having a good time because all of this was being taped by social media. They were having a lot of digital fun, I should say. Everything was being taped. However, this lady showed up missing, and the boyfriend, he came on the scene, and now, presently, as we speak, he himself is now missing. We are seeing a case where social media played in a very important part as far as time goes. They were having a vacation sometime in August, around August 25th or so. She was last seen or last posted certain information about her whereabouts. September 11th, however, she was reported missing. It was quite alarming that you go out with your boyfriend to a wonderful park, seemingly have a nice vacation. They probably spend the COVID-19 together, and they decided, wow, we can do this. It seemed to be fun as far as the social media reports go, because there were smiles on her face, smiles on his face. She's riding piggyback along the way. And then September 11th, you heard that this girl never came home. Yet he made it home. He used his right to not speak or give a report. And presently, he is missing. What is so tragic, however, this evening news, just about 5 o'clock after I post this information for the show, remains were found in an area that suggested it may be this young lady, Gabby Petito. So this is our events for this evening. But before that, there was a wonderful show that was put on by a sister and, of course, hosted by Dr. Winborn. And I want to, at this point, thank the young Princess Dashira, a young lady of my after my own heart, for her appearing on the show, short but sweet, and giving her take of the show topic about polygamy. So, Dashira, I was so very happy that you were there and you can make it. So what I will do at this time, I would open your mic so you can give me a few words for this evening about your experience on the panel. So 618-960, your mic is open.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm good, my dear princess. I'm fine. Really happy to hear your voice.
I'm happy to be here. I actually just gave birth to baby girl a few days ago, so.
Congratulations on that. My family is growing.
A quick
congratulations. Congratulations. This is Dr. Winborn. I just want to say I was on earlier when you was on, and I think it was great. And then, you know, even after all of the wonderful wisdom that you shared with us and your concerns, to find out that you had just given birth and just a couple of weeks ago and was able to come and do that a few days, our hats is off to you. Now, that's what we call Wonder Woman. God bless you, young lady.
Thank you.
That's a great news to share with us, yes.
Yeah, so I didn't catch the topic, what is being spoken of tonight. Can you refresh my thoughts?
Yes, but tonight's topic, you know, I won't be too hard on you with a lot of lengthy conversation, but there's a growing concern of 14,000 people now being under a bridge trying to gain access into America. Have you seen this sort of news?
No, I haven't. I haven't. All I haven't
right,
aware of
it. All right. Well, of course, you were preoccupied. And also, I don't know if you know about Gabby Petito, the young lady who went hiking with her boyfriend, a real free spirit young lady, and she seemingly never made it back home.
Oh,
you know
I've
about...
heard of that. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so tonight, as we speak, her body remains were found in the park.
Oh, they found her. Okay. Wow.
That's what one person is.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, I think my input on that is the guy definitely probably has something to do with that. And I heard he was on the run as well. He didn't want to speak
on
that.
Yes, he is missing as well at this time.
Oh, wow. The world is becoming a crazy place. I don't even know what to say half the time. I wake up and you hear this is going on. You hear COVID going on. You hear children missing, and you hear people dying, and you know, how do you function in such a time?
Well, what I can say is, I feel really bad for you and your generation and your time, because me being over 50 at this time, we had a really good time upon the earth, but now it's bad for you all because you all are faced with certain things, and it's only going to get worse. So I really sympathize with your generation, and of course, the madness that is about to come upon the earth because mm-hmm. people are so spiritually unaware of what is going on, and we're going to have major, major confusion upon the earth just now because of what we are about to face with. It's gross darkness, darkness in the sense of diabolic events are going to take place, and it's your generation going to face it. I feel so sorry that you all kind of just relax and have a good time. You don't have to be so up and up, keeping your health and also your spiritual health. But I want to ask you, how was your experience this evening with your show about polygamy? How? Tell me a little bit of how you felt.
It was a lot of amazing points by amazing queens and princesses. I was very floored at, you know, the opinions, the opposed, and, you know, people who were for it. And the comment that I made was, you know, as far as polygamy, it's something that's very, that people are are uneducated about. There's not enough good examples out there for anybody to really want to pursue the culture. You know, our generation, I mentioned that, you know, I'm coming from kind of a younger generation, and, you know, all we have is Love and Hip Hop. We have MTV. We have, the media is really feeding us all kind of things. You know, we see that being single is the way to go. You know, all men are this and that. You know, we're male bashing. We're parading women who, you know, feel using men is the way to go. So my comment was just about how there needs to be an example, a good example on the culture of polygamy and how it can really build a village and build a people instead of destroy it.
Okay, and you were wonderful. I love your take on it. And as you say rightfully, you do not have a clear example of how it could be done and is it feasible. And without a proper education of polygamy, is that a case where there's one guy who's out there playing the village ram and having multiple sexual partners? It is really a grand responsibility of that man, because if you think one woman easy to deal with, but here you are four women. So I'm sorry for this man who think he wants to do this polygamy story, because you know how catty women can have. They can give him a headache every single day of his life, if you know, so be. But it must be something that must be taught about and instructed and orchestrated the right way. Else, really and truly, it could end up in confusion. We have to examine why it was first introduced as well. There was a case where men went to war and women were just left unattended or unable to take care of themselves, being the more delicate factor. And it was implemented in certain areas and villages, and it worked. It could work if it's in the right way and working for a positive need whereby women and children are being taken care of. But if it's just a case where it's just fun and fantasy, it will have confusion. But Dushira, thank you so very much, and I will let you go right now, and you can listen on to the show if you have the time and not distracted. I want to say I love you, my daughter. You made me very proud today. And, of course, I love you too. Looking forward to seeing you soon. I don't want to give a time on it, but soon. So we'll talk after the show or tomorrow, God's willing. But I want to say stay blessed, stay beautiful, and I'm going to let you go right now. So as we continue our show, I see waiting in our queue, we have caller 718-350. Our conversation for this evening, as you may have been listening on, we are attacking that story concerning the 14,000 under the bridge. What's your take on that? As far as immigration go, more people are bursting the seams to get in. So 718-350, your mic is open.
Good thanks. God bless everyone. And it said that if we don't remember history, we're bound to repeat it. In 1983, All right, where they had the Haitian boat people. All right, and they had issues with having them meet here too. Some were enslaved or incarcerated. All right, experimented on. That's actually the day that I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord. I was fusing at this, how the United States treats black people and black people in slavery, slaves in this country. But that's nothing new. There's 14,000 people that have been refused to come into the United States. This is another aspect of a rejection from the United States because the history of Haiti. Anyway, there's independent black nation. You know, they beat the French, they beat the British, you know, and so on. But in lieu of all of that, they also helped the United States in the Second World War. And as we do help this country and all the world, all the crises and stuff like that, we are not allowed to be respected or voted or even declared human beings. And this is a consistency. This is a consistency. As soon as they see that we have a power, any type of power, whether it's voting, whether it's money, you know, what have you, they tend to put a clamp on our rights. Even we have an Oprah and all these people, they have, you know, they have rights through their money, but they're still, you know, powerful people in their own right. But don't sleep on anything. Don't forget the history, you know, of this, with people's towns being destroyed and burnt out, you know, and so on, because we got too powerful for them. In this time, there's so much media attention and everything else. They will tend to attack those who are just trying to get power now. The Voting Rights Act, you know, those implements that if we are not woke, and a lot of us aren't, you know, if we're not woke, we're doomed to repeat the same situation. And with the younger generation who has been co-opted by media, you know, by, this generation's hip-hop. I mean, I'm not against hip-hop or anything else like that, but they're not even on, some of them are not even on the borderline of understanding what's going on. It's about the Benjamins. It's about the money. It's about the sex. It's about it, all of these things. You know, that are going to put them in a real pickle. It's a shame. This new generation is going to have a hard time if they just got to wake up and see what the real deal is here.
Okay, caller, I like your input in our conversation. I would like to have Dr. Benjamin, I must congratulate you on your wonderful show that you had earlier on as a moderator. It was quite a wonderful show. I was hoping that Ola Beast would come on as well. He promised us he would. But I want to give the mic to you to give your take on what he's saying in this current situation.
You're asking me? I can't really hear time. You were going in and out. I didn't hear any question.
No, I'm asking, I said congratulations on the wonderful show you did, you moderate with the polygamy. I say, but for our take tonight, as we discuss what's happening with the 14,000, what's your take on that immigration situation? And really, who is to blame as we watch helplessly as the people sit under the bridge? And we are seeing a third world country situation with portable toilets and babies crying and people asking for food. So what's your take on the situation?
Well, in all honesty, I'm not fully abreast of the situation. I do know about it. But I do know that here in America, we have these treaties and these clauses for people that are seeking refuge, not just leaving to be leaving,
but leaving, but because their life is in danger. Our borders are normally open for those individuals. Sometimes that conduit seems to get smaller depending on the level of melanin of those individuals that are trying to dock these shores. But we do have that there. So now we see 14,000 Haitians that have come and have left Haiti and trying to get into the U.S. Because I just think it's ironic because their president has been assassinated. They come into the U.S. that, I don't know, you know, the conspiracy theories are to say that shot was fired from this side of the park. So, are you sure you're not running into the direction of the bullets? But the reality of it is the country's in, from what we're being told, you see, and I have to say it that way. From what we're being told, the country's in chaos and that it's falling apart because the president's been assassinated, and I guess that they're not happy with whoever steps up as the president afterwards. But you know, the theory has it, or rumor has it, that this is all based around the assassinated president's unwillingness to force his people to take the vaccine.
Well, of course, this is already a connection there. But add to what you're saying, the poverty and the stress of the Haitian people is quite one-sided. It depends on really which lens you're looking through. Because I can show you a video, which is quite recent, like 2 weeks ago, where the Haitian middle class is on the beach having a party with their Mercedes-Benz and their Lexus, and that's what they're driving.
Yes.
It's a part of Haiti that has some very well-to-do people who don't separate themselves from the poor people in Port-au-Prince. So it depends on
the lens. You know, there's poor people everywhere. You can go to parts of America right here in this country and see some of the worst poverty that you see just like on these infomercials you see on Channel 13 about some of the worst parts of Africa. The thing is they don't show you the good, they don't show you the modern parts of Africa like no place in the whole continent or in any of the countries, you know, got a skyscraper. The whole continent is in a village, you know what I mean, hiding from gorillas. If you let
the Red, Red Cross tells you the story.
right. You let them tell the story.
You still see Biafra.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to show you a bunch of little black kids with flies sitting on their face.
Yeah, that's been since I was a girl.
Right. So we need to understand these things, that the media or those that are controlling the media on this end, it is in their interest to paint certain images to keep certain things going so that they can maintain their aura of supremacy. So it's important for you to think everything about Africa is horrible and stupid. Imagine if all the black people that that's been told to go back to Africa. We all get up one day and go back to Africa. What do you think is going to happen to America?
It'd fall to the ground.
It will fall to the ground. Overnight, it will be non-existent.
Because we had a backbone.
Okay? So it's to their benefit to keep us here, to keep black people oppressed, to keep their thumb on us. And it's getting outrageous now, especially with the police brutality. It's getting this outrageous. Now the police can walk up to you, talk about de-escalating. They don't de-escalate. They come in escalating. They want to pull you over and just tell you get out the car. Don't tell you why. Don't tell you what your infraction is. Just get out. Just get out of your car right now and get on the ground.
Yeah.
That is so disrespectful.
Yeah, because your question have to be asked, officer, why are you stopping me?
Just get out. You know what I mean? And so
and it's a right. You have that right.
it's being done on purpose. And they're trying to tell us something. And I think there was a saying
at one time is that there is no rights that a black man has that a white man should respect.
Right.
You know, okay. Years ago, I'm hearing of cops and some black cops saying, you know, we're going out hunting. You got to understand what the police department, how the police department was set up. You know, we are police unlike any other group of people in any other nation. You know?
Can I add to that? We are the reason for policing in this country.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were no police departments and stuff set up until after slavery ended. We need to understand that.
The slave catchers turned into the police.
Right, they started off as the slave catchers, right? Because it's property. So the slave catchers was the right, task to protect the property. And at that point, you was property. After the slavery was ended, since blacks didn't have anything, African Americans or whoever, Moorish American or whatever identity we were at that time, with no thing, our ancestors was left with no other opportunity, with no other resource but to steal in order to survive. Okay?
Sharecroppers, which is slavery all over again.
Which is slavery all over again. So we need to understand these things. If you look at the slave catcher's shield, they look just like the police shields of today.
Yeah.
But my point is that today, and you speak to the young lady, you're absolutely right. Because it seems as though the oppressors are pushing the narrative like they want us to retaliate. They want us to retaliate. They're trying to push to retaliate. Like they got something planned. So we just need to really pay attention to what's going on.
And teach our children, our grandchildren, and let it go down to our great grandchildren and make that connection with Africa and the Caribbean so that we can be one nation within ourselves, I believe. And that's a task that our mothers and fathers, you know, and the family, you know, when it gets back together,
right,
or if it gets back together, has a task. We're talking earlier about polygamy, all right, and so on, but there was a reason in Africa why people had so many children and wives. Wives ran the business. They had duties. They had different duties. Someone may take care of the cattle. The other one take care of the farm. You know, the other one looks over the children. The other one may sit down and help negotiate with the elders. You know, and so on. And that's how these nations grew so much. You know, and it wasn't a total thing. Now, then it became how many wives you can afford. Then the women started getting into a polygamous situation. How many men? That was later on. You know, even a way of giving birth. You know, by standing up and giving birth, with all those nutrients and everything else that we have in our bodies, our DNA would be better transferred. There's a whole host of things, but under the European situation, you know, we've changed that, and when we talk about natural birth, we don't talk about in that manner where the child will be, you know, much healthier. There's so much that we have lost and are asleep on, you know, because the white man's ice is cold, you know, and we need to get woke.
We really do. You know, I said very little earlier because I know that everything I say will automatically be applied to the Federation.
Mm.
I have to be careful about you know, what I say, but I will say this.
Well, not on this show. You can say what you want. You know, you know we're free from 7 to 9. With Sadie, you can say what
I'm
you
I'm free
want.
From 7 to 9. Listen, as far as the polygamy argument is concerned, I always say your ideal of polygamy is based on what part of the Bible you read.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're in the African part, which is the Old Testament, there obviously were multiple family units. And there obviously was a system that seemed to work. If you are in the European side of the Bible, which is the New Testament, you are working under a different structure now, a different set of rules.
Control.
You follow me? And so, you know, I tell people when we think about our icons and our gods and goddesses and we think about our mythology, all civilizations, gods, mythology was based on gods, great gods of this, god of the earth, god of the water, god of the sun, Ra. All of these, you know, are set, the ones that Enki and Ea that come out of the Sumerian text. It wasn't until Greek philosophy and the Greeks and them began to create their gods, and
yep.
they came out with a god of money, right? Aphrodite is the god of sex. And so they began to worship the things of the earth. They began to worship the creature more than the creator. And we lost a lot of the spirituality. Mm-hmm. We lost the ideal that sex and or intercourse will lead you to the highest experience you can have here on the third dimension. They call it climax for a reason, because that's it. And in its purest form at that moment, you are indeed having an out-of-body experience. Those experiences have been corrupted by infatuation with body parts. And that has been perpetrated and been put on us by our colonizers. And we've taken up their ways and we've taken up their ideas. We've tried to be like them. We've been taught to be like them. We've been taught to watch them. We've been encouraged to be engaged in their banking system, in their credit system, in their school system. We've been taught that. And we've left most of our original understanding and knowledge, not even knowing that those that are now giving us back our own knowledge, but giving it back to us corrupted.
Yes. Perfectly
okay.
said.
And we fed on it and we've dined on it, and so we have all of these mixed ideas and stuff. But I say, I don't know why they had me on the polygamy show about multiple wives. I can't get one. So I don't know why they think I'd have some idea what you do to get two or more than one. So I just feeling like really out of place. But these are the things that we have to always consider. I've heard a lot of examples, and I heard one individual say that the reason why he knows that polygamy is wrong is because in the beginning with Adam, there was only Adam and Eve and not Adam, Eve, and Sharon. And I said to myself, being the Bible scholar and theologian that I am, like, wow, how wrong is he?
Mm-hmm.
He forgot all about Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he forgot the scripture, ancient text tells that Adam had Lilith and then Eve. Eve didn't show up until after he put man in the garden. Because before he put man in the garden, there was another a female.
People, yeah.
Right? He made a male and female, and he called them Adam. God created male and female, and he called them Adam. And then later on in the scripture, we find that it says that God took the man, put the man, and put him in the garden. Not the woman. She done got kicked out. He done left her already. Right? Put him in the garden and then put him in sleep. And after he put him in the garden and put him to sleep, took for him his rib and created a woe man. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole rib thing. Okay, well, we go look at Mabel and see where the umbilical cord was cut, but that's a whole nother story. But you understand? But just understanding these things. And so, again, I say it all depends on where you're at, what part of the Bible you're reading will shape your idea of polygamy argument. Now, I know this. I used to have a client, a Muslim brother. He had three wives, right? And they did not live together, but they were all a unit. He had three wives. He had nine kids between the three wives. Each of them had their own home, okay?
Yeah.
And one of them held down the business, the family business. One of the wives had the good credit. All the houses were in her name, right? And the other wife took care of all the kids. And I never heard of a problem. And they got along fine, other than just regular, you know, relationship problems he'd be complaining about. So do it work? I mean, obviously it works, but it's not for everyone. We have to also remember when trying to attempt such a relationship like that in this climate, in this environment, it's tricky. Because it is, our environment is so mixed with the lack of the lust of the flesh. So you never get into the spirituality of the relationship because everything is based around body parts until they start to, you know, until they start to fall apart. They start to change and gravity start kicking you in your butt. Then you start to, you know, begin to realize that you're greater than your whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was also one thing that I had a friend, Ben Sorelli. He had seven wives, lived in the neighborhood here. They had a building. Mm-hmm. One of the wives, okay, the other wives got together and decided, and he was sorting another woman, and decided if she was good enough for the family. They made the decision to fill that space. The wives made the decision, not the men, you know, to fill that space. All right. And she had to be good for the family. What was she bringing to, you know, the clan, so to speak?
Right.
You know, and that still happens. That still happens in Africa. But they say you have many wives as you can afford.
Yeah.
You know,
I was listening to a debate not too long ago, and the young lady said, listen, she said that a woman's sexual energy is about once a month. She says the man's sexual energy is all the time. The woman have eggs. She said the man have, I forgot, she had the numbers down about how many millions of eggs the man had, a seed the man had. And she had did the math. She said that 30 men could impregnate every woman in the world. When you look at the seed to egg ratio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard something like that. It's a while ago.
And she went on to talk about how women are internal and men are not. Men don't love like that. Men love it to provide and protect. If he's provided and protect, that's how he loves. That's how he show he loves. He doesn't show he loves like women love internal. But because you know what I always say is that the one entity is external, one entity is internal.
Mm-hmm.
And the female's internal. She's the receiver. He's the giver. He's the external. You follow me? So
yeah.
We, when we understand these principles, and we can get along a lot better. And I know we're supposed to be talking about what happened to Gabby, but that was my experience. If you asked me about,
that's the one I could say.
We tend to slow.
I know we were talking about Gabby, you know. But
I am just going to say, Dr. Winborn, if I let you continue, it's going to be all downhill from here on, because we will never know what happened to Gabby.
You said they call her body.
I just seen the news flash. Her family's about to make an announcement.
Well, we are having so much fun on this wonderful Sunday evening. I know there are other callers in the queue, so I believe I can open up the mic of 347-880. Welcome to the Sunday evening of conversation. We are talking about the 14,000 that is under the bridge seeking refuge into America. You see that a great Haitian population has joined in. Even some people said they were living in Chile for a while, and they were there too, listening to news. And also in listening to news as well, we reflect on Gabby Petito. Gabby, a beautiful young woman that left to go on a hike with her boyfriend, and somewhere around August 25th was the last time she posted several pictures of her and the boyfriend having fun. I think she posted several days as well, so therefore she have left quite a digital social trail, and she turned up missing. On September 11th, she was reported missing, and the boyfriend, which is right, he remained silent. At this time, presently, before I wrote for the show, she was missing, but presently they found her sometime around 5 o'clock, but there was, they found remains that is believed to be her. So if
that's
you
really
know
sad.
About this, you can join in.
Well, greetings and blessings. Today's very sad day for regular people, and we're happy to know that we can get together and plan things to make things better for the world and for people. So right now is a situation where that Ethiopian Federation is calling to bring the people together to do something that we can do, that can be simply done among each other, that can bring some kind of benefit, that we can use it and publicize it in a bigger fashion to make other people well and more healthier. So we are saying that if that is possible, that we can plan things like that, we can plan it on ourselves and improve ourselves and improve our friends and start improving. So right now we are really glad to bringing the people in the world that are doing worse than us is Haitian people, and they're not looking at the real people. They're just looking at the character of the people, all them ganging up one area. And what I'm saying is that we have to more lay out a better fashion in order to attract and the people who are not looking at us the right way. But we have to go and bring out a little better fashion to let people look at us in a more disciplined, reliable, and more progressive way to be able to help America and help the African people join with America to bring America better and better. So we are saying that these people didn't do nothing like the other people and did something, and they're coming in. But these people are suffering, they're like everybody else. and it should take some discipline in trying to balance the situation, not looking at one-sided. So, you know, I have more to say, but I would like somebody else to come on and say some more things.
All right. We thank you so very much.
I have a question.
And then caller, what I will do now, I will open the mic of 646-387. Your mic is open as you join in conversation. You have been waiting in the queue, and we welcome you this evening.
Yeah, greetings everyone. You know, it's nice to meet everyone again for this meeting. Well, I won't be able to talk all that much, but when you are talking about the woman missing, well, why don't they start first by investigating the man that went with her?
Because he's missing too.
He's missing too.
He's missing too?
It's as if he decided to be missing.
Well, the thing about it is he really wasn't missing at the time she was missing, but as the last post would show August 25th, she was reported missing September the 11th. He went missing September 3rd. But he had reportedly gotten home to Florida to his family, and so he came back from the camp. But he exercised his right to remain silent, and nobody heard from him. And now, as they found her remains, they are now looking for him. So he has turned from a person of interest to now a suspect. They couldn't have done it before. They didn't have a body. Back to you. Caller 646-387. Okay, if you wish to say anything else at this time, I'll open the mic of another caller that's waiting in the queue. Our conversation for this evening, we're discussing the fact that there are 14,000 people under a bridge at this time, waiting at the mercies of the immigration of America to let them in, but it has turned the place into really a third world country look. And it is a case you're wondering what is going to happen. There are few portable toilets, I saw the news report, but then 14,000 people, you have to feed them. There's women and children there. So Mike, the mic is 914-363. You can weigh in on this conversation. And again, we are also looking for Gabby Petito, who we found out presently after 6 o'clock news that she has, you know, she's gone right now. So your mic is open, caller.
If I may divert for a minute, based on what Ronald E. Robinson said about all these wives in ancient African times taking care of everything, I just want some women to know I need a secretary, an accountant, a lawyer, administrative assistant, a lender. Any woman out there got some money to lend? I need a financial lender, financial consultant. I'm calling out.
Well, you can always send me an email and we can see what we can do to help you.
I'm letting you know now. These are things I need. I got a litany of things that I can do for me this year. I'm running.
If I knew,
I could just got a bunch of wives and run my business, Lord Jesus. And you all these years I've known you, now you tell me.
I think you're 25 years late.
Oh, God. You got it right, sister. God. I'm calling on my exes. Y'all don't know you're supposed to be in the business.
Now you have to beg favors.
I got to call on my exes. I got to come back. They owe me something.
You could have
and
had
take
it
your children with you.
If you
and
only
take a child
knew.
Support with you. Yeah, I need somebody to pay child support too. Okay. Oh, wow. Ron, thank you so much for being late. like you always are. That's what old people do, y'all. They get late. They tell you something. Oh, they come after 100 years. They say, oh, wow, let me say this. Well, I'm glad that at least I got another 10 years before I can use these wives. Wow, that's good to know. Well, I'm back to the ranch here, back to your question. Gabby Petito, anybody can find her. Go ahead and have a good time. That's the best I can tell you about her.
They found the body.
Okay.
Almost 100% sure.
Dr. Wimmore, so they don't need me then. There ain't nothing for me to say on that.
Yeah. Moody the refugees.
Wow. So nothing I can say on that. But I was gonna say something ingenious, but ain't nothing I can say now. We give prayers out to the family and their bereavement, and we hope that they find some solace in Christ that would give them some kind of peace in times like this. I mean, I don't like nobody, you know. It's, in all honesty, it's just terrible how people are dying, and it's just bad. It's just bad how people are dying. And I pray that people find peace in the time of this situation, because I know I wouldn't want it to happen to none of my children. No. In terms of people trying to come to America and jumping on planes and et cetera from Afghanistan, it's terrible when one understands the intricate workings of the political behind it, when you understand, you know, the corruption behind it. There's a whole bunch of stuff in which I will not say here, but I'm saying that there's a reason why God lets certain things happen in terms of how He make things happen. And I'll say this: thank God for those brothers and sisters, in which it was a terrible, terrible exchange of humanity. But the brothers and sisters that came here on them ships hundreds and hundreds of years ago that made this a place of solace. That's something that we got to understand. It wasn't a place of solid. It was a place where you would jump on a plane and try to get the hell out of here hundreds and hundreds of years ago when this whole thing called so-called America started. You know, people were going the opposite way. But I'm just saying, you know, thank God for those brothers and sisters that stayed here. We had to look at it from that perspective as well, that somebody stayed here and suffered to make it a place of some kind of solace, where people can find some kind of level of peace, where people can find humanity. My mode of operations in terms of what I'm doing in my life is for the children. I feel for children, because all of this stuff affects children tremendously, and children have no say in how things happen in this world. They don't say, God, send me to Afghanistan, give me Afghanistan, Mama, give me Afghanistan, Daddy, put me in the Taliban, let me go to where bombs are at, let me go where there's racism. They have no say in it, and I feel for children. I felt for the children of Israel the children of the Palestinian people when the Israeli government just bust into their homes and just took just demonstratively handling them, you know, and just treating their parents like nothing. And the children have to see and witness this kind of behavior. So my thing is, you know, I think about the children. I thank God that there is some kind of place where they can come and find some kind of level of peace. And I know this is not the best place in the world, or given all things and circumstances, but there are those of us here, Buffalo soldiers, fighting on arrival, fighting for survival. Thank you, Bob Marley. And we're still fighting to get things corrected. And in terms of, if I can just piggyback on one of the conversations earlier between Dr. Winborn and Ronald A., in terms of us as a people here, and the disrespect and the racism and the slave chasers and the police department is connected to it. All that is correct, but we as a people, see, I think one of the things we miss in the civil rights movement, the abolition, from the abolition movement to the civil rights movement to the runaway slave movement to the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad, everything we ever done, one thing we have not done, and I put this on those of us living in the late to the first, the beginning, the early and the middle 1900s, when there was some kind of civility and law. African Americans, Black Americans, Moorish Americans, whatever you want to call yourself, as Dr. Winborn said, we never asked the government, what is my position here? What the hell do you want from me? What is my position? I want to know, what rights do I have? Am I considered still three-fifths, or am I a full human being because you treat me like three-fifths? Call it out. Call it out. And that's one thing we don't do. We want to march for this and march for that, but we never call it out. This government need to be in the world court. This government need to file cases against it at the UN for all kinds of human, civil, liberal, every kind of right that's been violated by mankind to mankind has been done into America to Black people, and I think it's time that we put them on notice. We ain't taking it no more. We have to step up and make the humanity that's in us be shown. The Bible said, resist the devil and he shall flee. That means stand up to him, to whatever he's trying to do. Stand up to it, and he shall run away from you. So we got to stand up to this devil. We got to let them know that this is nothing. Just like Dr. King said. Based on the Constitution in which you were written and the laws in which these founding fathers are put in place and all the yada, yada, yada that y'all said, this is nothing like what y'all say. It's a total demonstrative difference in what you say and what you do. And we as a Black people, whether you got here yesterday, whether you came here 400 years ago, whether you come from enslavement or whether you got on the airplane and decided to find your way here as an immigrant, whatever, whether you're illegal or whatever it is, we all need to come together as a people and ask this damn country, what the hell are you thinking about? How are you treating us? We are providing every damn thing for you, from the fact that Africa has really supplied the human needs of the world. Think about it. Without Africa, the human needs, the resources that they have been given out, the natural resources, the medical resources, the development of science and technology, math and reading and writing. If Africa did not exist, where would Europe be? Where would America be? Where would Asia be? Where would all these other Arab countries, where would they be? So we've been supplying the needs of these people, and we continue to supply to them, and we're not asking the right questions. So and they keep giving us all this bull, and we keep falling for it. Quite obviously, if you're supposed to be getting apples, and I'm trying to give you oranges, I'm going to keep talking about oranges. But damn it, if you want the apples, ask the man for the apples. So we got to decide what we want. We as a people collectively, we as the Black people of the world, we got to decide what we want and get together and come to a consensus and one common denominator and say, this is what we want. This is what we need. America, you have not provided that. And it's undercover. You get years and years and years of total undercover because you keep having other countries develop science. Dehumanizing experiences for people, okay? So America looks good. And compared to what? One evil against the next evil. One evil a little easier to absorb. But not for me. You understand? So somebody coming from Afghanistan or one of those countries where they're being Bucharest or Russia, you know, they come to America, it looks good for them. But from my side of the story, I feel the same way they felt leaving Russia, Afghanistan, Bucharest, and other places. But we have to bring America that like what Hillary was saying about young Black men. We got to bring them to some kind of heel. We got to bring America to heel. Anybody need a heel, Mrs. Hillary Clinton? It's this goddamn America. They got to heal. This is madness. This is madness. But who's going to call it out? What man, what woman going to stand up and say, hey, look, this is madness? What person is brave enough You know, because you got all these leaders, you got all these black leaders. You got more black leaders now than you got shoes in the factory. You all, everybody pop up as a black leader, activist, this and that. But what y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? What y'all really accomplishing? Are y'all really asking the pointing questions?
And, you know,
I just want to say one thing, brother.
Just
I want to say one
thing
before
I worry
I forget.
About. With all the immigrants coming here.
But listen to this. June 19th, all right? Juneteenth, they call it, respectively, the day of liberation and freedom from slavery, whatever, whatever, whatever. They go have a hearing in the Congress. They're talking about why should we get reparations, and then the other sector of blacks are saying, because they got money, they're talking about, oh, we don't need it because it seems like it's a subservient thing and it's demagnetizing our condition. Listen, that's not the goddamn question. That's totally off point. The point is, we have given every damn thing to these people, and we belong to us. That's the way the world works. You give, you work, you get. That's how business is done. That's how everybody who develops societies. Look at them. They developed the banking system, and they living off for years. They developed slavery, and for 400 something years, only 25 families are living off slavery. Okay, all right. So I'm saying that's how it works. You develop, you implement, you do, and you live off that. That's your heritage. That's your inheritance. And our inheritance have been stolen, and we got to ask those questions. We got to tell America, not please, can you please stop killing me, white officer? Because we know why they're doing it. We know why they're doing it. It's a part of the plan. It's by design. You're talking. You're gonna go tell the cracker to stop killing you, and that's the plan. Nah. You tell him that this is over. The party is over. We understand exactly what you're doing. We know who you are, and I know a lot of people are scared because whatever comes after that. But sometimes when you between the brick wall and the ocean, and you ain't got nowhere to go, you're gonna have to just take what you gotta take, because that's what we between. There's no other way for us to do this but step up and challenge them. You know, we just gotta step up and tell them it's over. I'm not waiting for them to. I'm not gonna wait for some nice white man to get into the White House and consider things. Joe Biden don't consider nothing now. He had an epileptic fit or something. He can't remember nothing from the next minute to the next minute. That's very convenient, Mr. President. You know, now they're saying, oh, you know, he's not really bad. He just can't remember shit. Well, that's very convenient. He promised the black farmers some money, the subsidies. He got in there, and now he's, oh, I can't do that. He promised economic development in all the poor black communities. Oh, I forgot about that. I was thinking, you know. No, mister. I ain't got time for your crap.
He's having dementia.
Yeah, he need to go. He got to go. They talking about him pitching his behind because he can't remember a damn thing. You better retire or something, goddammit, and let Kamala get up.
Step down.
Yeah, step down or something. At least Kamala, she's a woman. She remember. And Kamala's a woman. She remember every damn thing.
No, and if she doesn't remember, we would all laugh about it.
Oh, come on now, Sadie. Women don't forget nothing. I was married 3 times. Trust me. They don't forget nothing. They know something happened 25 years ago, 10 minutes to the day. Okay? I'm telling
and
you.
And they will bring it up at the least unexpected moment.
There you
remember
go.
Remember when you left me
right,
by the
right.
last
when you're driving 100
place,
miles
you know,
an hour. Right. When you're on the highway and you're driving 100 miles an hour and you're trying to keep the traffic, yeah, that's when they bring it up. You want to live, lady?
You told us something happened last week. When
there
you found
go.
That it was 25 years ago, you slammed the brakes, and here we have an accident.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
When it's time to go to bed, there you go. They're not remembering stuff. This ain't the time for that, baby. This ain't the time to remember that. I'm putting on Luther Vandross now. Ain't time to remember nothing else. But the deal is, you know, we laugh about it, and it's all in good thought. But I just believe that we just got to say what we want as a people. We got to come together, all of us, whether you Caribbean, whether you Africa, whether you in North Central America, whether you in Europe, wherever you at in this world, if you got skin a little darker than the average white person, then you need to join this. You need to join this party. We need to come together. We need to just stop.
Most definitely, we are out there fighting for the blacks and the browns. Most definitely, and it's the black people of the world, the brown people, and all those who have the drop of this wonderful melanin. As we continue, there's a lot of fun on this show this evening. Everybody's in good spirits, having a great laughter. I'm going to open the mic of 646-818. Your mic is open that you can join our conversation. We are talking so many different things, but our main topic tonight is your host, Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, local number 26. I am asking a question. Earlier on, as I was writing for the show, I asked, where is Gabby Petito? Gabby Petito is a beautiful young lady that went on a vacation, a hike, with her boyfriend, you know, after COVID-19 and you quarantined together. Everybody fell in love. You're like, oh, my God, let's just go on a hike. Let's just see America. You know, she's having fun. She posted on the social media up until August 25th or somewhere thereabout. And on September 11th, well, a historical day for all of us, she was reported missing. Her family did not see her. She did not show up, but she was living with a boyfriend. However, on September 3rd, he himself is missing. But presently, as I said, 6 o'clock, I was about to prepare for this show, but look at the news and found out that Gabby Petito is in fact dead. She was found in a park somewhere in Wyoming. So this was very sad. And now the question has been answered, let's see. But here we are talking about, again, 14,000 people that are under a bridge somewhere in Texas. This is people who, I guess, didn't come all together, 14,000, but the number is growing over a three-month or so period, and here we are seeing a crisis situation. But most importantly, though, and I forget to mention, it was quite striking for me. There's someone in the background. Need to take mute your phone, please. It's a little noisy. Okay, let's just see what we can do to help. Yeah. But as I was saying, however, these people who are under the bridge, I saw that they were asked a very important question. Were you vaccinated? And a lot of hands went up. So somebody is going down there and vaccinating the people, because the time they have been there, they were given food, because by now they would have been dead from starvation. They're there about 2 months now. There are portable toilets there, so I know somebody's attending to some situation. But surely enough, I guess there were extra vaccines. Who knows, when people were just really, really liberal and generous. But I think that crew has been vaccinated. So we asked this question, and we asked for you to join in conversation at this time. For those of us who might be open, if you would like to join in conversation, and any one of us, all mics at this time will be open, that you can partake in whatever conversation. But I would like 646-818 to join us in conversation.
646-818. They're just back from vacation.
Well, welcome. Welcome, Queen and Sister.
You know, sometimes we just have to wait and watch things unfold, you know. It's important. And not to be too preemptive. Because whatever it is that's going on, like the sun, you know, they say you could hide and buy land, you can't hide to plant land. So just give everything some time. We'll let it unfold. I wanted to touch on something. I think it was Dr. Winborn who was speaking. I wanted to touch on something he said in terms of ask these people where we're at in terms of their consideration and in terms of them giving back to us some of that which we involuntarily served as. But we really have to get to that point and that level that we have to get to the level where we learn to take what belongs to us and stop begging and asking for it. But that's another conversation for another day.
Well, no, I don't think
we're there yet. Queen, let me say I enjoyed you earlier. I don't know if we're there yet where we're ready to, where we should be ready to take what's ours and what belonged to us. You know, we're still trying to negotiate. We're still trying to reason. We're still trying to explain, you know, why you should give me my keys back. You know, so I don't know. That's a good question. You know, we talk about taking back control, and but I wonder if we really are really ready.
That's exactly why I say we have to strategize to take back that which rightfully belongs to us, instead of trying to continuously negotiate. Martin Luther said that he was appealing to a people without a conscience. I don't know if you ever listened to that speech.
Right.
If all those years ago he recognized that he was appealing to a people without a conscience, similarly, I don't think over these past few years they would have grown said conscience to want to give back or to share that which they have illegally acquired. So the onus is on us to recognize what is our just due and extract it accordingly.
Indeed. Listen, I tell people, especially black people that's talking about reparations, I kind of feel like we can get that out of our mind. As we were going to, they were going to give us reparations, they would have done it by now. They had more than enough opportunity to do it. Whenever we talk about getting reparations, you know, what they did was when the volume got high on it last year about the reparations, they gave us a holiday. You know, here's Juneteenth. You know what I mean? Yo, take this little holiday, you little niggas go somewhere and sit down and be happy, go in the corner. And then every Juneteenth, you have to get up and you go dancing, you go do your parades, and you go get drunk, and everything be back. That's kind of like what they did to us, and to get us off that conversation. And I say to people that, you know, when you think about reparations, the purpose of reparations is to repair the nation. And these, our colonizers, our oppressors have no interest in we as a people repairing our nation. Us as a repaired nation is antithetical to their success. It is to their interest to keep us wounded. It is to their interest to keep us divided, keep us fighting over nonsense that we fight over. It's to their interest to do that. And so there will be no reparation. When you get reparations, you're going to go out there and you're going to get it yourself. Because they're not giving it to you. They don't let us know that. You get a stimulus check.
It's not about what they let us do, huh? It's what about we decide to do. Because there's a difference with somebody allowing you to do something and something you deciding to do.
Right. And up until now, we have petitioned them to let us do this, to let us do that. Let us do that. Can we do this? And we have not come together and said, listen, check this out. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this, this, that, and the other. All right? But it's hard for us to do that if we fighting with each other because I go to First Baptist and you go to Southern Baptist. I'm Pentecostal, you Methodist, or you 12 tribes and you not Bingy. and we have all of these differences and we're fighting each other, that's what they want. I'm Muslim, I'm Hebrew Israelite, I'm Moorish American, I'm Indian. We the Native. As long as they can keep us divided and not understanding and realizing that we are all these things and we just need to come together. And in there is our strength. Scripture tells us that things will get straightened out and that it will be us who do it. And that one day we will wake up. One day we will come together. One day we will unify. It's in the Bible. It's prophecy. Okay? And it's going to change. The question is, when? Right.
Let that day start today.
God has put us in such a condition. See, like the Bible says, together you stand, divided you fall. In unity there's strength. In separation, there's weakness, physiological weakness and psychological weakness. We don't understand that. But God will put you in such a condition that he'll make you humble yourself and change from your evil ways and come together. And I think the conditions that we are facing is just trying to wake us up to see that it's no big eyes and small U's. It's no foreigner. It's no immigrant. There's no nothing like that. The Bible says, be careful how you entertain the stranger and be kind to the foreigner, because nobody knows where cometh the Son of God. But I'm just saying that we have to learn that there is something bigger and more important than whatever title you own, whatever degree you got, whatever country you come from, wherever, what house you live in, and what car you drive. There's something bigger and more important than that. And I always say, I think people would have a common denominator and think about the children who do not come into this world selecting to be black, white, Spanish, different, immigrant, hungry, poor, rich, or whatever. They come in this world innocent. And if we can't try to come together on behalf of children across the world, especially our children who are being put into monstrative, dehumanizing experiences, if we can't see that, then I don't know what we're going to see. But we have to, and each one of us that come from a culture or whatever, and we have to teach our brothers and sisters. You know, we have to tell them, yo, you know, I step to African Americans all the time when they talk nonsense and say, no, let me explain something to you in a nice way. Try to teach them, because people are ignorant. Like Dr. Winborn say, people just don't know. They've been so, how many woke people are there? How many conscious brothers and sisters out there? And there's a true thing going around. They say when you're a woke brother or sister, a conscious brother and sister, you're hated by your own people. And that's true, because nobody want to hear the facts. The Bible said in the end of the time, they would prefer, not that they would not know, but they would prefer the lie over the truth. And that's what we're dealing with. A lot of people do not want to hear the truth. It's unfortunately a lot of our people, because a lot of them done messed up. A lot of them continue to mess up, and they want to have an excuse. Oh, you know, because I live over here. Oh, because my mother didn't do this. Oh, my father was like that. Oh, I had no father in my home. I was living in the village. I came from the ghetto. You know, when I grew up, no matter how poor you was in South Carolina, and I know people, I know people get tired of hearing me say my stories over there, but we had no other choice. There was no, my mother's not rich, my father's a drug addict or an alcoholic, or we were homeless living in the cotton fields. There was no excuse. There was nobody, and nobody allowed you I wasn't allowed, but my grandparents, by my parents, by my great-great-grandparents, I wasn't allowed to have an excuse. Why? Because they had no other alternatives. There was either you work hard and be successful and work together, or you perished. You know what I'm saying? So there was no alternatives. And that's the conditions we're facing today. We got to realize we don't have no alternatives but to work together and work hard and be honest. I tell my kids all the time, it's not like you have the luxury of messing up, of a juvenile delinquent behavior. You don't have that. They taking 11, 12-year-old black kids to jail for little juvenile nonsense, okay? They got people going in jail for jaywalking right now. Nonsense if you're black. So there's no room. We got to tell our kids there's no room. You can't play games like the white boys play games. You can't do what they do. You have to try your best to be your best every day that you can. One thing a person cannot take from you, something that they told us many, many years ago, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best, because nobody can complain about how you sweep them streets. So once you do something, be the best at it, nobody can complain, nobody can deny that you are the best, and go forward. But we have to come together as a people, and we have to either come together or we're gonna perish like fools. And so I always tell brothers and sisters from the islands and from Africa, from wherever they come from, I'm happy you here. I love you here. I'm your greatest supporter. I'd be waiting at the airport for you to get off the plane. When I see a brother and sister come off the plane to here, I'm happy. The more we're together, the larger the numbers are here in America, the more we have power. So I'm happy they're here, and I hope they're happy that when they came over, I was able to welcome them. So it's about that. It's about unity, about coming together, about respecting one another, culture, whatever language, whoever come from, and it's about trying to be a fellowship. And and that's our nature. As an African people, we are good people. We are kind people. There's not a country that I've traveled over the world, and I've probably been half of the places in the Caribbean, half of the places in Africa over my life period. And I found kindness, I find goodness, and I find welcomeness. So, and I, by the grace of God, I hope over my years, I gave the same kind of the same kind of feeling to brothers and sisters when they come here as well. So that's the best I can say. You know, we got to find some common good in one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you so very much, Dr. Robinson. Always a great speaker, and you entertain us so very much on Sunday. I'm so happy to have you and your laughter and your joy. And, of course, we know it's about one love, and also what you give out is what you receive. So you said you have gotten kindness along the way, and we know you have given it as well, and so it returned unto you. So wonderful for your conversation this evening and your input. This is, of course, Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. Everyone this evening, your mics are open. Our conversation, we are enjoying ourselves as a black people coming together. Unification is the key. Love is the answer. It has always been. So your mics are open for who wish to continue in our Sunday evening conversation. Queen, if you're still on the phone, your mic is open. If you wish to continue. Dr. Winborn, are you still with us?
I am still with us, and we did not pay any bills yet. So why don't we pay some bills while everybody is looking for their mute button, and then we'll be right back once we finish.
Yeah. Oh. Entertainment worldwide network. We online. We in your speakers. Hitting on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I sang on a payment with NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy Big D.
It's your folk checking traps.
This your peeps Captain Mac.
I let your boy Bossalina.
It's your boy Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Miles.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Cates.
This your bro JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude Insane G.
What up? This your boy Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk GB. Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Zay's Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
It's your boy Jay Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end, getting blessings. Wise Life Records, and you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Ethiopian Royal Federation Incorporated, local number 26, with our lovely host, the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez. Put your hands together for us to come back to the mic. At the
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so very much, Dr. Winborn, for your warm welcome written. I will take this opportunity to thank my wonderful sister and queen for her wonderful, talented delivery of today's conversation earlier on with on polygamy, where she was able to excel and let us know how well this can be implemented into our society. So, Queen, are you still on our line? Queen Olabisi, are you still on our talk radio this evening? So maybe she dropped off at this time. I'm not watching the board, but Dr. Winborn, maybe you can let me know if she's still on. But to thank her?
Yeah, she's still on the number. Yeah, she's still there.
Okay, well, just
is that 646-818?
Yeah, Queen, your mic is open.
Maybe she stepped away. You know, it just sounded like she was at another function calling in.
Oh, that could be so. But to thank her as well for what she contributed this evening. And I was to also ask what was your comment when I was waiting for her to come on. But what was your comment on her delivery?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Dr. Winbo.
Oh,
you're a moderator for that show.
Yeah, well, I thought that all of the participants were great. I thought that they all had a lot of information. Some I agree with, some I didn't. But I think that each of the presenters did a wonderful job in stating their position, how they felt, about the subject matter. I think that there's a lot more to be spoken about. I don't know if we were able to give it the justice or the time that it really needed in such a small amount of time. Somebody called, one of the participants suggested that in part two, it'll be more dissected in pieces because the conversation can go all over the place because it is such a broad conversation. But I think both the queens did a wonderful job in stating why it's important and going over the principles of what I understand to be more family units.
Well, the one thing I learned, however, there was so much names for the kind of love that we can give to each other.
Oh,
I learned
man.
About
oh,
the polygamy and the polk. I wonder which one of the polys I'm doing, you know.
Well, listen,
I
there was all confused. Polys, but the poly wanted to crack it. That's no, I was like, that's the only thing that was missing up there.
So I guess we could, and the poly allows us to love in different directions. You know, we can love 1, 2, 3 at a time, and that is acceptable under one of the polys. And yet we can love each other in different ways, and we can marry someone and not marry someone, still be, I say we are covered.
Mm-hmm.
But with all jokes, sorry, go ahead.
That was very educational, though. All of the different polys, that they had a name for all of those different activities. So that was good. Queen Mother Moses, extremely animated, very, very entertaining. I was kind of disappointed when her time was up. She went over the Dr. the Umar Johnson wedding, and I thought that was interesting. Of course, you know
that's fake, though. That's not real.
That's what I was about to say. Those people on the inside know that it was fake and that it wasn't real. Because he's, I don't know if anybody knows, but he's very, very close with local number 5. He just left St. Croix, local number 5. And local number 5, that's why I thought it was real funny, because local number 5 sponsored this program earlier, the polygamy program. And when she brought that up, I just thought, how ironic is this. But I didn't want to say, because I didn't know for certain, but I had heard that, you know, that it was staged, it was some type of photo shoot, some type of modeling thing that had taken place while he was down in Delaware. Because now Local 5 was down in Delaware with him, helping him with this function. So I just thought that was entertaining.
It was quite timely, though. It's quite timely, however.
Yeah, it was quite timely, but I just felt like I was watching the episode of World Star. So, yeah, but Queen Mother Moses is very, 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 very animated.
Yeah, informative and entertaining.
Right, informative and entertaining. Then there was Brother Kip Ezekiel, who the chaplain. And I know that he was limited in his speech because he is the chaplain of the council. And so he's very conscious about what he says, you know, because anything, you know, you say automatically get attached to the couch.
Can or will be used against you. I am just having flashbacks.
Yes. So sometimes you think you're at liberty to speak, but you go ahead and say it if you want to. Just be prepared for whatever come back. So, but he was enjoyable, you know, he is a very respectable individual. I have a lot of respect for him. One of my favorite chaplains inside of the Federation, and I'm so happy and proud that he was elected as the international chaplain for the council. So he's been a great spiritual leader and advisor for us as we go about deliberating, trying to get things done for the black people of the world. Which is, you know, our main objective, but this is the reason why we're here, even on this platform, even this evening. Even though we talk about other subject matter, at the end of the day, our commitment is to building the Federation. At the end of the day, we're looking for people to join the Federation, which we need because we need to get
numbers
organized, and we need to get our numbers together so that we can get our seat back, excuse me, the boys, so that we can get our seat back at the UN. So that
exactly.
We can begin to make some change, so we can begin
exactly.
to be at the table with those that are making decisions for our lives.
Exactly.
I tell people all the time, right now, this administration is a war administration because we're at war, and we need to govern ourselves accordingly, and we need to do those things that we need to do in order to protect ourselves. Now, I don't think any of us is ready to go run and get some guns and go start shooting it out with anybody. So that there's other ways and other things that we need to do in order to protect ourselves. And one of those ways is us coming together and us unifying, us getting our seat back at the UN and begin to gauge everyone on a global level. Nothing pleases me any more than when we have our global meetings for the Ethiopian World Federation and we have our locals from all around the world participating. The mere fact that we've grown it to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where we need now interpreters to be in on our global meetings so they can translate for our local that we have in Paris, for our local that we have in Martinique. All right. These are the things that we're working on. And even tonight, we talked about Haiti. We need to be talking about what we can do to come together to have some type of effect or be able to do something against, you know, to help that situation. You know, I got another news flash as we were talking that the U.S. has flown over 3,000 of them back to Haiti, back to Port-au-Prince. And drop them off. So, you know, these are the things we need to talk about because these are the things that we need to address because these are the things that are plaguing our people right now. I enjoy the fact that we laugh and that we keep you ka-ha-ha. Nobody likes to joke around more than me. But I look around and I see the condition of the world and where it's in right now. And I understand that it is you and I and the Ethiopian World Federation that have the answer. His Majesty left it here for us with a wonderful instrument, with a wonderful tool. But we have to use it and use it the right way as we pull people in and as we let people know the importance of being a part of the Ethiopian World Federation. We need to understand these things. And as we do these shows, all of these talks, we need to be geared around to building the Federation and moving it forward in all our locals, like we're doing here in Local 26 and then all the locals around the world. So I commend the work that we're doing in and all our the members of Local 26 and what's happening and the fact that we're reaching out to people. But we got a lot of work to do. We still got a lot of work to do. Yep. Back to you, host.
Dr. Wingone, I thank you so very much with your tireless effort to put us, the black people of the world, in a place where we can feel that comfort and that joy by getting together, by that unification program, by you stretching your hands all out. And I feel happy in this moment that you announced we would need interpreters that just show how far and wide that you have gone. And even greater still, we are doing something, we are moving forward, but we are spreading a word that when certain people hear it, as I listen on the Saturday program, one man commented, and this resonated in my heart. He said when he was first introduced to the fact that there was something called the EWF, he wept. Because
yeah.
he wondered
yeah,
how
I heard
some...
him say that.
Right. How something so good was held away from him for so long. He was upset. He wondered why all these years he didn't know about this. Why? And this is where I see our guilt will lie. So I'm making sure I spread that word to every unsuspecting person because there are people right there outside hungering for something. And we have to be great ambassadors to know that we have to reach as many people as possible. Now, some people may turn us down and say they're not interested, which is okay if they're right. But really, I see there's a need for people to want to come under some umbrella so that they can have a greater strength within the unification to function as the ones in England spoke about that unit 100 number 144
mm-hmm.
and they spoke about the fact that they have been doing things
right.
individually and they just want to come together, just want to umbrella, tell us where to go,
right.
just want to run under this umbrella and belong.
Right, and they are new local. They're our most recent local, but they're on fire. They are turning the UK upside down for the Federation. Yes, sir.
I'm saying they are planting a flag right about now.
Right.
They want to be known and heard, because then they are working on a very important project whereby a few Britons have lost their status because they came on some ship. You know, I didn't follow the story totally. I don't have all the facts, but I think of the project that they were working on to defend these people who cannot defend themselves. And this is the work of the Federation to step up
right.
to help
right.
people who cannot otherwise help themselves.
Right, right, right. A lot of them in that local are in the legal field. In fact, the president of the local is a lawyer.
In a matter of fact, you're so right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I
so they're in the struggle big time doing what needs to be done on that end of the world for the Federation. Yeah.
Of course. I'm so proud of them. As you say, they turn Manchester upside down
mm-hmm.
because they are also working with intelligence because I think 10 of them or more is lawyers because of the
right.
fact that they were lawyers, they got together and formed this group to defend these this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I was so proud of this information.
Yes. Federation Rising. Federation Rising.
Definitely.
That's our call. That's our call to order throughout all the locals, throughout all of the Federation. Federation is rising. It is time. We have no other choice. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We must. Or else we are facing annihilation. Just really, really think about what I'm saying. And our Constitution has called for us to come together to prevent that very thing His Majesty saw that's happening down the line, what we're experiencing now. And what we're experiencing now is a category for, listen, the statistics for walking while black, driving while black, shopping while black, eating while black, waiting at the bus while black. They got statistics on it. Why is that? It's because there are those entities that have been out to destroy us from very, very, very long time, but they can't. They can't, though.
And they've been unable to do so.
They've been unable to do so, and they can't. So I'm here to serve notice. Notice you don't have anything to worry about because they can't. It is not in God's will. God's will is for us to be where we are. We have to come together. And when we come together, we talk, and I see it happening. And I see it happening, yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
It's happening because we have been forced with pressure on certain sides, and it's like our back is against the wall. There's nowhere to go. There's no other comfort than to be with each other.
Right.
Yes,
so
we are forced.
We are forced to. And so since you're forcing us to, you know, this is what we got to do. We're going to do what we got to do. We've tried to be nice. We've marched. We've sang. We've cried, we prayed, we fasted, we've shut in, marched and we prayed, and we cried, we fasted, we shut in.
But we stopped.
No. So,
we just stopped.
Right. We need to.
We stopped.
And come together and hit this from a different point of view. And I tell you, you have to attack their God. Their God is M-O-N-E-Y.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And you could only hit.
That's how we learn to fight this war. That's how we learn to fight.
And you could only take them down where it hurt the most.
Where it hurt the most. So the power is in our dollars, is in our numbers.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We can shut down whatever we want to shut down. Whenever we decide we want to shut it down, we can decide
that
for a whole week. We're not going to go to one fast food restaurant.
We can destroy the industry. We can rain on your parade anytime we want to because we are the spenders. We are the spenders.
When we wake up and realize these things and stop getting caught up in petty differences, you hit me first. Who shot John? Why you look at me? You don't like me.
We can close our Nike anytime we want. If you only know
anytime
that.
Anytime we want.
Yeah, because who line up for the sneaker at 4 o'clock in the morning? We do. So if a new brand comes out and we doesn't go any place, that sneaker will be there on the shelf.
Absolutely.
Because the white boy is probably going to buy a Vans anyway. He didn't plan to buy a Nike.
Think about how long they've used us to market their products. As soon as we get some notoriety, they use us to sell their products. Why? Because of money. Why do you think they pay athletes and entertainers so much money just to keep them entertained and to keep us buying the products and keep us coming to the games and keep us distracted as to what's going on? But I tell you what, though, we are out of time. So you need to have your closing remarks quick because the music is about to come here.
Okay, so those days are far over, but as we watch our Sunday evening countdown, we see the hours are drawing near. And we want to thank each and everyone that came out this Sunday evening to entertain us. I am Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation, Incorporated, Local 26, thanking each and everyone for this wonderful Sunday evening. Please join me again with the Sunday evening of talk, signing off, saying good night, and we go into our commercial break.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God
Labor Day.